You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 77 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. From Denver, Colorado, I am John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, from Saskatoon, Canada, it's Kevin Avdestad. Hey, Kev.
What's up, John? Going to be a crazy show this week. I'm actually really looking forward to spending some time on a topic we don't necessarily get to do a lot of talking about, which is Arena.
Good play. Oh,
yeah.
Arena. Never mind.
That too. All of the above. Yeah. But no, we've always talked about wanting to spend a little more time on Arena. We get lots of emails and requests for that. And this week, given the obvious, and we'll get to that if you're not clear on what's going on, it's finally time for us to really kind of dig into it. So going to be a fun show. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm really excited for this show. Before we get rolling, though, let's head over to Kansas City with J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R.
Hey, guys. It's good to be back after a week-long vacation of going to Atlanta, Georgia, and heading out to Dragon Con. If you guys have never been to Dragon Con before, this was my fifth year there. And I was just there for fun, like I am every year. And you should definitely go to Dragon Con sometime because it is a convention unlike any other I've ever been to. I rank it above BlizzCon, I'm sorry. But just because it is about the fans, about the community, about just hanging out, drinking some beers, and having a good time, which BlizzCon sort of becomes as well, but Dragon Con is like a whole different beast.
Pun intended. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to talk to you for the rest of this show.
Why?
I don't know. I don't like you calling out BlizzCon like that on a Blizzard podcast.
Hey, BlizzCon's right up there. It's the second one. Dragon Con for me, though, is amazing.
Send your emails making fun of JR to wellmet@blizzpro.com. I'll read them on the show next week. They have to be appropriate, but they can be about how much better BlizzCon is from Dragon Con.
Hang on one second. I'm typing up my email right now.
Just say it, man. Just say it. Let's talk about our weeks in Hearthstone. I'm sure they have been glamorous. Kev, let's start with you, man.
Glamorous is a strong word. The little bit of time I did get to spend on Hearthstone this week was split pretty evenly between doing a little bit of messing around, helping some friends make some new decks now that Karazhan is done and dusted. People are trying to make new things work with the cards they've decided that interest them. So just some experimental stuff on the ladder. And I did a little, very quietly over on my Twitch stream, a little casting for a private tournament. The top four of a recent tournament with some friends that was pretty interesting and dominated enormously by, of all things, a modified discard warlock. So it was a lot of fun, very cool to see. And that was kind of how I spent my week. So this month is going to be rough for me with work. As you guys have no doubt gathered from all of my shout outs at the end of the shows, I've got some big projects due in the next couple of weeks. So I'll ladder as best I can, but this is going to be like a one night when I have some free time on my iPad, I'm going to desperately try and rank up kind of month.
That's fair, though. It happens to the best of us. Guys, BlizzCon's right around the corner.
Less than 60 days.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it. It's too soon.
I'm so excited. I'm really excited for this. JR, what's up with you, man?
And for me with Hearthstone, since I went on vacation, I was a week behind from everybody. So just Friday, I finally got to play the final wing of Karazhan finally and get all those cards unlocked, play through Heroic, get that through. I'm like, okay, what am I going to play with right now? And I decided to go with the fun and interactive Hunter because Barnes and Yashiraj and good times and It was a pretty fun deck. I enjoyed it for the most part. It's cheesy. If you don't get the combo, it's not as fun. If you get the combo, you get to kind of laugh and feel sorry for your opponent. But I didn't get ranked up very far with it. I wasn't very good with the deck. I probably had 55% win rate with it, which is good, but not fine, like, yeah. Amazing. Yeah,
it's good it's once you've ranked amazing. Up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good and it's fine if you're having fun, right? I'll take a 55 right. win or 55% deck with that's fun than yeah. a 65 that I just hate myself playing. Yeah, aggro Shaman.
Yeah, so I had fun with that for a bit. I think I'm done with it though after the initial okay, I got Barnes out on turn three with the coin. I got Yashiraj, my opponent conceded. After a few times of that, I'm like, okay, I want to build something else. So I think this week, I'm going to really push for, I talked about on the show a few weeks ago when we were doing the card reviews, and I said I really wanted to make an really hyper aggro discard warlock. So I'm going to play around with that this week and see if I can get something to work.
Nice. As for me, I burned out a little bit. Ranking from 12 to 4 at the end of last season. And so I didn't get to play a whole lot. I've been playing around in Arena a little bit, especially with the changes. I'm like, ooh, I should play a little Arena. So I've been doing that. I haven't touched the ladder a whole lot, except in my ETT time. So, yeah. That's been about it. For those wondering what ETT is, that's effective toilet time. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. It gives you a whole new definition to discard Warlock.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
All right. Before we do get started, we do want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T., The Real Ben and Coral. Thank you so much for your support of WellMet. We really can't thank you enough. If you want to get involved, if you love the show, head on over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. Take a look at some of the perks we've got there and go ahead and sign up. Chat just got to the joke before, so I'm reading the reactions. So anyways, thank you so much, Albert T., The Real Ben, and Coral. Kev, what do we got going on this week in Hearthstone?
Oh, we got a whole bunch of stuff. We'll start from the top and work our way down. So at the top of our list this week is the ongoing quest for those last couple of spots at BlizzCon. The Hearthstone World Championship is going to play out in November. And over the course of the next 3 weeks, we're going to find out who the last three seasonal champions are going to be attending on behalf of the three standard regions in Hearthstone next weekend. Primarily what we want to talk about right now is the America's Summer Championship. It runs September 17th and the 18th, beginning at 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And we're going to chat a little bit about what we're expecting from that tournament. So for those of you who didn't catch the preliminary, you're going to be watching Abar, Dude7597, Hot Meowth, Monsanto, Pasqua, Roof Trellin, Teray, and Topo Pablo 11 competing in that tournament.
Really big names there, Kev. The way that you had those so lined up and memorized, it was amazing. Very good.
Yeah, I am for sure reading those off the list. For what it's worth, they're not all new, right?
Like, no, we've definitely seen
Teray play before. This is not Hot Meowth's first appearance. He's done really well on ladder and done okay in a couple of tournaments, but it is definitely indicative, I think, of some of the general feedback people have given about HCT this year and how it's very difficult because you don't see consistency from one season or tournament to the next. So I don't right. know. JR, thoughts?
No, that's exactly how I feel with this. The thing is though, like the HCT games, like especially the championship games, they're always really fun to watch. Like these are really good players. They've gone a long ways to get here and are, you know, at the top of their game. And the play that you're going to see is going to be the best plays out, you know, the probably the best players out there right at this moment. And there's a reason why they're playing for the championship. Even though you don't, you may not have heard these names or anything like that, doesn't mean they're not going to play well. So it's definitely going to be fun to watch. And ACT always puts out a really good production. So I'm pretty excited to see, you know, I probably won't be able to watch all of it, but I'm pretty excited to, you know, see a good portion of it, maybe especially the finals.
Right. And worth noting that this go around, it is a slightly different format as well. They're playing Conquest best of seven in a single elimination style with one ban. So it isn't going to be exactly what you would have seen if you watched the last couple of tournaments or the spring season. John, what are you thinking?
I mean, the thing I'm most excited about is I feel like every season Blizzard has gotten better at the stuff that they do in between games to make HCT fun and interactive, telling the stories about the players and doing that. No doubt Great Hearthstone is going to be played. What I'm really excited for, though, is getting to know these players more. I hope that as we finish and round out 2016 here, I mean, next to BlizzCon, you could argue this will probably be the last big couple weeks of tournaments that we'll see this year. So I'm hoping to see some change, or not changes, but I want to see more of that as they've fleshed it out each week and each season. I feel like they've done a better job with that. So it should be really good. I'm honestly rooting for Hot Meowth. So yeah. What about you, Kev? How do you feel?
I mean, I feel good, honestly, at this point. I'm going to watch because I'm excited to see how it goes down and obviously, you know, take a vested interest in the health of the scene, how the commentary is, all that kind of stuff. But I will be perfectly honest. I'm most excited right now for when we get to Last Call, because Last Call is going to be, I think, probably the most competitive tournament of the year, because it's reflective of all of the events all year, as opposed to what went on in any individual season. So there's maybe a little more stability to the player list that will be appearing at Last Call. And that to me has at this point, a little bit of an appeal. Tough though, because we have to wait, right? We have to wait until Last Call takes place in October. And then we turn around from Last Call and jump basically straight into BlizzCon opening week, which, if history is any indication, they'll actually have to start the weekend prior to Halloween to get all that stuff going in time for the top eight to be decided for BlizzCon's actual stages. So it's going to be a very interesting couple of months in the competitive scene. And then we'll have that sort of brief quiet period before we learn what's going to happen next year. So right. Lots of tournaments every weekend.
Yeah. And hopefully some improvements that we'll see after that, or some changes that they'll make to the format to, you know, there's always improvements you can make one way or the other.
Yeah, totally.
And I definitely think that we needed a really big, strong 2017 from Hearthstone. Otherwise, I'm nervous, boys. I'm nervous if we don't see a strong competitive scene in 2017. To fuel that and be very, very stylish in my segue here, Navi G2A has left the Hearthstone scene. So they're dropping their rosters, which includes some of the biggest names in Hearthstone. Zixo, current world champion, Ostkaka. There's, who else is on that roster? They've got a couple of really good players. I forgot to post the link in there, but I mean, G2A has been huge. And then Amaz actually signed with Shax Esports organization, NRG. And so we don't really know what's going on with Archon. In fact, all I know of on Archon is Amnesiac, right? Is he the only one left? And well, don't they have Nadia still too, and a couple of streamers, but from a competitive standpoint? From a competitive standpoint, it's just Amnesiac. So, Hearthstone's on fire.
It makes me wonder what's definitely is going on with Archon, because if you look at their Twitter page, like, they kind of redirect you to NRG at this point, or tell you about NRG, which I don't think NRG didn't pick up Team Archon. They just picked up Amaz.
Who was Team Archon? Yeah,
right.
I know what you're saying.
But still, like they didn't pick up the other players from Team Archon, though.
Yeah. No, you're totally right.
I mean, so Navi is crazy because you did list Zixo and Oskaka. They also had Hoi and Hoi, Surrender.
That's right.
Both of whom put up big results.
Huge.
And then Archon, despite having lost big names like Firebat, Orange, Purple, they actually had Zixo originally too.
I remember that.
They do still technically have on their official roster, depending on what the state of the organization is, Amnesiac, Zalay, he hasn't done much, but Backspace.
Backspace is just like the manager, right? I mean, he's fine at Hearthstone.
He's played, yeah, but he's not a competitive player. But at any rate, I mean, this is a lot of big names, and these are not the only organizations that have done this, right? We've been talking about this as something of, I don't want to say a trend, I don't want to point fingers, but this has been ongoing for a while. We're seeing players leaving competitive Hearthstone. We're seeing Hearthstone players turn around and say that the only thing worth doing in competitive Hearthstone right now is streaming. Multiple teams moving away from their players, multiple organizations moving away from the game. I don't know. I think you're right, John. I think something big is going to have to shift, because if it doesn't, things are looking pretty scary.
And keep in mind, what we're talking about here is just the overall popularity of Hearthstone as an esport, which is what a lot of people look to Hearthstone to do. Before tournaments, Hearthstone was still a very popular game and a very popular game to watch streaming. But if the changes aren't good and the game isn't getting better, then there's going to be less people watching that. And if there's less people watching that, then or playing it, if there's less people playing it, then there will be less tournaments. And it's just kind of the healthiness of the competitive scene feels really tied to the healthiness of Hearthstone as a game. My personal feelings anyways. And of course, you don't have to be super hyper competitive for that. But having something, right? Even when it's not like the HCT super competitive stuff, you know, they do the Geico brawls and things like that. When we don't see those, the House Cups, that's where I get nervous. That's where I get worried about the scene.
And I think it's worth noting, if you missed last week's episode, episode 76, John and I spent a fair bit of time on what's going on with competitive in general and kind of some of the fears we have about inability to get invested in Hearthstone esports. You can't really follow a player. You can't really follow a scene. There's a lot of problems that have emerged over the course of 2016. This is all stuff that has developed in the time since we had that conversation. But I think it just fuels the point that it's going to be really rough unless some big changes are in the pipe.
Yep. Totally.
I think in the form of like competitive Hearthstone esports, yeah, I totally agree with you guys. In the form of like Hearthstone being popular and a very popular game, I don't know if it's going to affect it that much, just because of the insane amount of people that play very casually is a lot higher than those that play competitively. So I think it's still going to be an insanely popular game one way or the other. But I totally agree with you guys on the competitive side that we're going to see like the people that are competitive about Hearthstone there will be less of us, basically.
Right. And everybody will transition to videos and funny streams and playing silly decks, and that's because that's what people are tuning in to watch. That's what people are supporting. So we're sort of getting what we paid for here.
Right. There are still some people, though, who take their competitive Hearthstone very seriously, and one of those people would be Firebat, now with Cloud9, and he's doing his own tournament utilizing a community voted ban list. So before we talk about the ban list, here's the info about the tournament. This is pretty cool. So it's going to be September 14th, starting at 4 p.m. Central European time. So that's noon Eastern time on the 14th. It's actually organized by Cloud9, and it's going to be casted by Firebat and Zalay. The format is going to be standard, not wild, single elimination, best of five, one ban, conquest. And there's going to be a five-card community ban list. So we're going to talk about the five that are banned and then talk about any others that received votes or things that we thought should be missed. So first, number one on the community ban list, taking about 60% of all of the votes, is Yogg-Saron. No surprises there. No surprises there for removing a bad card from tournaments, JR. Second, Tuskar Totemic. More surprising to me, but I see why. We'll talk about it in a second. Third one, Fiery Winax. Fourth, Barnes. And fifth, Call of the Wild. Let's talk about these five cards. I don't even feel like Yogg warrants a discussion. We've talked about it way too much on this show already, but let's talk about Tuskar Totemic and removing it from competitive play. Kev, how do you feel overall about the removal of Tuskar Totemic?
I think it's probably not a huge surprise to people who have been following the competitive scene, because if you look at the opportunity cost of playing something like a Totem Golem, right? You're paying for what you get. You're getting a 3-4 for 3, give or take, on your ability to reset overload, yada, yada. It's a pretty okay card. It's tough to remove in a world where there's not a lot of 4 damage spells. There's no flame cannon. It's tough to answer, but it's not totally out of hand. Tuskar Totemic, because it can summon Totem Golem, is the problem. If Tuskar Totemic was a card that read, summon a random basic totem, or summon a random hero power totem, or whatever, however they could manage the wording on that so that you didn't have that option, it'd be a total non-issue. Nobody would be worried about this card. It's the specific ability for it to have that sort of 1 in 2, 1 in 3 chance of rolling something incredibly powerful that turns the game on its ear, and you can do that very, very early for a huge swing turn. I don't think it should be a surprise that this card got voted out. I think this is, if you were to go down this list, this is definitely the card that the most pro players have harped on in terms of its, not even necessarily the randomness, but just the power level. The power level because of its ability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and not it wasn't, that, oh, I really didn't know that a Totem Golem would come out of that. That's unlucky. But it literally is. That is a turn that if you do get lucky on that, which I think, Kevin, you're probably right, probably around 1/3 of the time you get a really good roll on that totem. It's a pain in the butt, and it's not fun, and it's not skill based. And yes, it is RNG, and yes, we believe RNG is good in the game, but Shaman already has so many strong early game cards, most of which are punished by overload. They come accompanied with some form of overload to slow that down. Tuskar Totemic does not. So I think this makes a lot of sense. JR, anything you want to add?
No, and even without that, like, aggro Shaman and mid-range Shaman is still going to be pretty good. They're just not going to, it's just not going to have that chance to be, like, really super good. So I think it's a reasonable ban to kind of make the tournament not as like Shaman centric as we're seeing right now.
It's, for what it's worth, I think this is exactly the same problem, and hilariously you're going to see this pretty much every rotation. It's the which class got a really good early game curve problem, right? With goblins versus gnomes, this was the paladin problem. Mini bought into muster. That's exactly what this is. It's mini bought into muster all over again, but in a different class.
Yep.
Yeah, and with Shaman, when this next standard rotation rotates out,
they both leave. They're both TGT cards. Yeah.
It's going to be rough for Shaman coming up in the, unless they get something upcoming.
Yeah, I totally agree. And next up is Fiery War Axe for Warrior. This should also serve as no surprise. Fiery War Axe is easily the... Basically, it's they call it Win Axe for a reason, and it's because if you get it against any sort of tempo-based deck, and you get it in your mulligan, you essentially win. I would love to see Vicious Syndicate's data on having War Axe against a Shaman and a Hunter by turn two, because I bet you those win rates are outrageous. So I think this makes a lot of sense. Anything you want to add about this card? Getting axed?
I think the most interesting part about this whole ban list is this is the only classic card that got banned out of the classic set. Everything else has been in the most recent expansions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is definitely... We did talk about Vicious Syndicate's article about Fiery War Axe back in July, and the enormous differential that it had. Basically, people who drew it, on average, regardless of archetype, it increased their chance to win by like 10% just by having it in that early part of the game. It's a very powerful card.
And it always has been.
Right. And the thing I think is frustrating about this one is... I don't think that Fiery War Axe is significantly better than a lot of the other class-defining cards, right? It just happens to land very early, but it's not better than like a Fireball, right? It just has a different set of use cases. So this is going to put a real hurt on Warrior in this tournament. It's going to mean that they didn't ban Fiery War Axe. They banned non-control Warrior is what they banned. They banned every tempo style of Warrior from the tournament by... deleting this card from your options. So that's tougher to swallow. And I think a reflection of the fact that there's just a lot of people who run into this card on ladder and are frustrated by it, or they're frustrated by the fact that we had 4 months of ladder where 1 in 3, 1 in 4 games you played against a Warrior. I don't think it's actually a reflection of what's good for cleaning up the tournament environment specifically.
And something I will say too, I don't think I agree. I think that people will still bring other Warrior decks besides Control Warrior. If they bring Warrior at all, I don't think it'll be Control Warrior. I don't think so. I mean, Warrior will still, you know, Dragon Warrior will still have a strong early game. The problem is just like Tuskar Totemic, it's if you get it, it's very... If your opponent has it, it's very difficult to come back from it. And that shouldn't be just for having a one card in your hand. It shouldn't be like that in most things. So, Kev, I'm going to disagree with you. We're going to talk next week and see who brings what. And we'll see if we get, because there's no deck list or anything. Yep. Nope. Good.
No. So, and if anybody brings Warrior, I'd say it's probably just C'Thun Warrior.
It could be C'Thun. Like I said, I don't think Dragon Warrior is all that bad with Alexstrasza's champion.
Yeah, Fairy Dragon
will still be good.
Yeah, there's still some strong early game there. But you're right, they're not stronger because of this change. Whereas, yeah, Control Warrior can function fairly easily without without a War Axe.
I mean, it's a lot of the same way with Tuskar Totemic. Like, Aggro Shaman will still be good. It just won't be as good. Dragon Warrior will still be good. It just won't be as good.
Right.
Aggro Shaman will just run Feral Spirit and Lava Burst and stuff on three. Right. They'll manage.
Yep. Next up, we've got Barnes. So, so this is, I think, what the community is trying to vote out here with this is single card combos that can totally blow the game, right? If this card is indicative of anything, is taking away those one card kind of unfair, quote unquote, mechanics, so that it appears to be more skill based. Now I see JR shaking his head, and JR, you and I don't disagree. We do. All I'm saying is that's what I think the community is saying that they think they want.
I agree with you on that.
But I don't like, just like War Axe and Tuskar Totemic and Barnes, like they're just those types of cards where there's nothing you can do to defend yourself from a Barnes or play around a Barnes into a Yashiraj, right? There's nothing you can do from a board wipe from Yogg-Saron. And so I think that's what we're seeing here. I think that's the pattern. I'd be curious to what you guys think.
I think with Barnes, like, I think if you had waited a month and had this tournament, I don't think Barnes makes this list. I think Barnes is on this list just because it's very fresh, very new, and people have been playing around with it. Like I said, you know, playing the fun and interactive Hunter, getting Yashiraj. I don't know if this makes a list in a month. So I don't necessarily agree with this ban needing to be made right now. I think there are other cards that the community could have voted for in its place.
Kevin has no thoughts.
May I?
Go ahead, Kev.
I will tell you exactly why this card is on this list and why this card would be on this list forever. The reason this card is on this list is because people hate playing against all spell decks. That's all this is. People have hated forever. Every time a deck has come out that has been obnoxiously powerful or annoying to play against, it's been a deck that overemphasizes spells. It's been Miracle Rogue. It's been all of the like token druid into Yogg, your fun and interactive Hunter. The majority of deck patron, even patron, was just a whole bunch of spells designed to cycle. People want to play a game where they get to build a deck and have a chance to fight about what the outcome is on the board. The whole argument, that the whole premise of the nerfs to Leroy and later to Patron was about how much damage could be done from an empty board and how uninteractive that was, and that Hearthstone is a game about trading minions, right? Like that, we've seen that commentary from the devs and the community team over and over. Barnes is the epitome of, you are supposed to build a deck that uses as few minions as possible to emphasize the value of Barnes. Now, I'm sure when they were designing this card and they were talking about the use cases, they talked about some of these funny edge cases, but they probably envisioned it being used for things specifically like Death Rattle decks, right? Where you get some additional value out of that token. It's a very similar application in a lot of ways to things like Shadowcaster, which doesn't get used to make baby Yashiraj, right? That's not what you do with that card. But no one likes playing against these all spell decks. And the culmination of all spell decks is things like Barnes and Yashiraj, things like Yogg. That's why people are agitated about it. And it's going to be why they're agitated about it forever, until we end up in a place where, like at the beginning of the standard rotation, when we first started out this year, there weren't enough spells really for you to run all spell decks. Even still, it's only barely possible in a couple of classes. That's what I think people dislike about this card and why it's on this list.
I agree with some of it. I definitely agree with spells need to be checked and balanced very carefully in Hearthstone. We've seen, everyone remembers Giant's Freeze Mage back in beta and how strong that was. You run a bunch of spells in Giants and profit, you know, and we've seen that. We've seen spells nerfed. I don't think for a second that Blizzard thinks that there isn't a place for a mostly all spell deck. Otherwise, I don't think this card would have been printed in the first place. And again, the card is actually has nothing. It's not that playing against the spells is the bad part. It's the one minion into Yashiraj that is ends up being the bad part, right? People could honestly care less playing against 28 spells.
You only pop that off.
It's only possible, you know, if you can fill the rest of your deck with all spells. Like, that's the only reason that that matters.
Right,
if you couldn't build a deck of 28 spells, then you couldn't do that in the first place. Barnes is deleterious to the health of the game because of all spell decks.
I mean, I think they made it for all spell decks, because then what Blizzard said and the fun and interactive Hunter that so many of our listeners have been trying out and tell us how they've been doing on Twitter and via emails, the one that JR run, the one that I took, it is you have to build a deck good enough on its own with spells to be able to account for the times when you don't get that combination.
Which is the vast majority of the time, is you're not going to get that combination.
Right. And the exact same argument, I feel like, can be said in the same breath as, like, this is the Reno type thing that you deal with, where you have to build a deck with good enough one-ofs that you can have a good enough deck that you don't, that if you don't get Reno, by the time you get Reno, you actually have a chance to win. So I don't know. I don't totally agree that this isn't because the community doesn't want to see all spell decks. I think that this is because the community doesn't want to see people punished for playing cards that, when gotten by a certain turn, are virtually impossible to turn around and win from.
But I mean, there's lots of other cards that exist in that space. It just happens to be that people are very aware of this one because it's new and enters into a couple of specific archetypes. I don't
Which think other cards are in this space?
Cards that, I mean, there's lots of big swing turn cards, right? Barnes is
swing
only one
turn
of them.
Is different. Like, Swing Turn and Yogg-Saron are very different. A Flame Strike versus a Barnes into 14, 15 of stats on turn four is very different. That's not a swing turn.
Okay, but by that logic, Barnes should be higher on this list than Yogg, because it's more likely to affect the outcome of the game and hits earlier.
I mean, it's community popularity, and I'm honestly, I'm with JR that this probably shouldn't be there, and if we had another month with it, people would realize that Barnes decks aren't that good to begin with once the surprise factor is gone. So
same thing as Reno Jackson. If this was taken 3 months ago, Reno Jackson would be one of the top five.
Because there is community bias. Just because the community is saying they don't want to see it doesn't mean that it's a bad card or overpowered. It's the community, I feel like, I can't speak on behalf, but I feel like the community is in a place where they're sick of seeing these one card combinations that totally blow open a game in ways that are uninteractive and basically unstoppable. You can't stop those things. I could care less about playing. Like, I played Freeze Mage, and yeah, I hate it. I hate playing against Freeze Mage. Freeze Mage is mostly an all spell deck. But the best, I mean, we all remember Ost Kaka versus Tice Freeze Mage. Nobody, I think, can sit down and say, that's not how Hearthstone should be played. That's not very fun and interactive. That's not very, like, that was one of the most mind-boggling games that I have seen. And I think we've seen a lot of thoughtful players and skill benefit from decks that utilize lots of spells. There have been ones that have definitely been too powerful. Think of the first iteration of Miracle Rogue, things like that. But I don't think that it's just because they're banning Barnes because of spells. I think they're banning Barnes because of Barnes pulling out a really powerful minion.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll agree to disagree. I think JR was right about it being a timing thing, right? If you were to go back to the very beginning of Old Gods, I think you would have seen people calling for bans to Miracle Rogue cards because Miracle Rogue was gross again at the start of Old Gods when the standard rotation occurred. Like, it's just a byproduct of what people are seeing. And right now what they're seeing is funny YouTube videos of Barnes.
Right. I agree. Like, I don't disagree with that at all. Last one on the list, Call of the Wild. Very fun and interactive and talented card of Call of the Wild. I don't know how much we need to talk about this card, but we will. What do you guys think? Any reason besides they don't want to see Hunter played in this tournament?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's this card. This ban is basically saying, yeah, we don't want to see Hunter this tournament. That's all. I could think of so many other cards I would have put in place of this. I didn't agree with it at all. I'm not a big fan of playing against the card. I like playing the card but it takes out.
I like
Hunter
playing all, strong like, cards too,
card,
JR.
This is the card that makes Hunter any yeah. good.
Okay.
And
Hunter was in a pretty bad place before this card. I will give you that. But I think there's lots of variants of Hunter that you could make work without it. I think.
Yeah, like active.
Face.
Well, no.
Because Barnes is out.
Huntress Hunter, right? The one that uses all the secrets, does run Call of the Wild, but you could sub in a couple of other tempo cards and still achieve most of the same effect because that deck's power has very little to do with Call of the Wild. Call of the Wild is in there because there's no reason not to run it because it's a good card. It's not in there because you can't win games without it.
It's, and I feel like, too, this is the same thing, and I think this is more of like a community overreaction piece than it is that Call of the Wild is an unbalanced card. And again, I think it still just comes back to the, when you see Call of the Wild coin turn 7 or on turn 8, doesn't matter what happened turn 1 through 6. It's just boom, unfair, delete, escape, concede. And I think that's just, you know, a big part of it is it doesn't feel interactive. I'd say for most people, they're kind of wrong, but I could see why the community doesn't want to see another Hunter play another Call of the Wild. And removing these cards forces new types of decks and new types of variants.
Do you want to know, like, now that we're at the bottom of the list, do you want to know what this is? This is a ladder ban list. This has nothing to do with what's actually good in a tournament environment. These are the cards people don't want to run into on ladder. It's a ladder ban list because the average person has zero experience playing in a tournament environment. If you were going into a tournament environment and you had a fairly strong idea of what the meta was and you tried to target certain decks and certain cards, you can invalidate every one of the strategies that revolves around, I mean, all of those save for Yogg just happens to work out perfectly. You can answer them very easily with one of a variety of tech cards in the game. You use weapon removal. You use board clears. You use secrets. There's lots of stuff that would answer this very easily in a variety of classes. I mean, Call of the Wild looks great till it hits a counterspell, right? But the reality is that these are cards that people hate playing against on ladder, and they've voted from their own experience, which is fine because that's the only experience they have, but it's not reflective of what's going to actually make a big difference to tournament strategy.
I would say the first two that they banned is pretty spot on. The next three are questionable. I would have probably put like Innervate or Arcane Giants, something to that effect in there instead. But I mean, it is what it is. I think you're going to see a lot of Zoo like in this tournament because there's nothing here that's going to hurt Zoo at all. So Zoo's going to end up being really good. In fact, some of the stuff that they banned is good against Zoo. So you don't have, so Zoo's even going to be better. Yeah. So you're going to see decks like that kind of emerge in this tournament, I think.
Without War Axe, too, aggro / mid-range Shaman ends up being really good, too. Yeah, they lose one tool, but they also lose the best counter card to early game Shaman, which is
there's War Axe. So many other things that Shaman can do on three, right? They can Feral Spirit, they can Lava Burst, they can Argent Horse Rider. There's lots of other tools that go in that spot that make aggro Shaman very viable.
We'll probably just see Wolf Rider come back in and nobody's the wiser.
Any number of things could work in that space, right? And the reality is none of these bans make it any easier to run the weak classes, right? This tournament is still not going to feature someone who shows up and their four classes are Rogue, Priest, Paladin, and I don't know, a Call of the Wildless Hunter.
Yeah, you're still going to see Dragon Warrior, you're still going to see Aggro Shaman, you're still going to see Zoo.
Zoo.
You're just going to see less Hunter, basically.
Yep. Totally agree. Most interesting to me is I believe four of these five cards are all from this expansion or last expansion, correct? The only one that's not is War Axe.
Yeah, War Axe.
Tuskar Totemic is DGT.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's been out for that long? Interesting.
It's been out since last summer.
It's just because Shaman sucked.
League of Explorers. Yeah, we've had League of Explorers.
Yeah.
Old Gods and Karazhan since then. But no, Call of the Wild, Barnes, and Yogg are all new in the last two.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. All right, let's move on here. I think we've exhausted that. So just before the show, so earlier today, Ben Brode took to the Twitter to talk a little bit with the community. And here is what he had to say. He said, reading feedback on Standard and whether things will change enough in 2017. If we think they won't, we'll make tweaks to ensure freshness. Not sure yet if that's nerfs like we did with Old Gods or something else, like moving cards to Wild like we did with Murky. So, Murky, not Murky, Murky. Anyways, Kevin, I know you have strong opinions on... Never. Should we talk about these other two things that he said first, or should we talk about these two and then go to the next two?
I think these two are the ones that matter.
Okay, go ahead then.
All right, so my take on this, I do trust the Hearthstone team implicitly to try to make the game as good as they can. I think that they have a different set of goals in a lot of cases than we maybe are aware of, because they have a whole bunch of things to worry about that we don't. They worry about player retention and player acquisition and having the funny and lucky moments and all the stuff that is good for the number of people playing the game, not necessarily for your individual experience in a competitive setting. So I read this and it feels really vague to me. It feels really like they're non-committal, as always. Like the Hearthstone team, if anything, when they do communicate, which is probably not often enough, they're very careful not to say anything, not to commit to anything. Compare this to what you would have seen if Jeff Kaplan made these posts. If Jeff Kaplan recorded a video and said, here's some things we're tossing around to try to make Standard more interesting in 2017. You'd get a 10-minute video and he'd go through examples of what cards could get moved in or out of sets, some of the conversations that they've had around the developer water cooler. That's what I think people want. They don't want 140 characters that says, of course we'll fix it if it's not perfect. That's what we do. I know they will. I know they will. But I want to know how and why. And not ever getting a how or a why is, I think, one of the big sources of frustration for people when we get this kind of communication from Blizzard. It's not that we don't think they'll do a good job. It's that we'd like to be involved in that conversation. We'd like to give feedback and have the ability to discuss it. Even if they don't listen to my feedback, I like having the ability to take Jeff Kaplan's videos about Overwatch and say, I don't know how I feel about this, XYZ reasons, and discuss it and have something going on in the community. In Hearthstone, we just don't get that option because this is the extent of what we're told.
JR?
That's pretty strong. but sadly, I do agree with a lot of what Kevin said there. But I also think that this is an issue that they're not even sure yet what they're going to do. They're still getting the data from this past year. And keep in mind, this was their first, and they've said this since the very beginning of doing Standard, that this is what we're doing to start off with. We don't know if this is what it's going to be continuing forward. If we need to make changes, we will. And we need to see how this turns out before we can make those changes. So it's one of those things where they can't necessarily be committal because they likely don't have anything set in stone right now to really say. And if they say the wrong thing, the community can completely turn it around on them. And we've seen that before with a lot of other games, World of Warcraft in particular, where if you say, you know, something and then the community takes it completely, you know, goes overboard with it, it can really burn them. But I agree with Kevin a little bit that Jeff Kaplan and the Overwatch team, they do a great job of being able to communicate to the point where it doesn't really backfire as much as them. But the issue with that is because Jeff Kaplan is just very good at doing that. You need to have that kind of person be able to communicate like that. And Jeff Kaplan does an exceptional job. And maybe the Hearthstone team doesn't really have someone that could really do that. Or they're not interested in doing that either. They work completely differently than the other teams.
I think Ben Brode is a phenomenal communicator. I think communicator. dang it. I think he does a great job communicating. I think the problem here is that they don't communicate it enough. And when they do communicate it, I feel like it's mostly PR and marketing. And that's the part I don't like about it. And there's always going to be a level of that. Jeff just doesn't sit down in his office and then bounce whatever goes off of his head. he's definitely got people reviewing that and making sure that he can say right. everything that he's going to say. But the fact is number one, with there's a whole Hearthpwn post about what Ben Brode said on Twitter, and it's four lines. That should A, say something about the level of communication we're getting from the development team overall. I'm not saying it's too little or too much. All I'm saying is comparatively, especially to the Overwatch team, it is less. At the same time, like, this is better than nothing. It actually is better than nothing. And there's no way you can disagree with me, Kev, but try anyway.
I'm not going to disagree with you. What I was going to say is I think a lot of this, though, is for them a byproduct of not wanting to make more changes than they absolutely have to, right? We've seen time and again, they're very leery to nerf cards. They're very leery to make changes. It feels like they just don't want to patch their game aggressively. And in the Blizzard library, that feels really confusing when all of the other games get these constant hot fixes and patches and balance changes. And if they make a mistake, they just walk it back. I think about the communication style the Hearthstone team uses, and I think back to when Blizzard's WoW development team came out and said they weren't going to put flying back into World of Warcraft. And the community went bananas, and they said, okay, you know what? We maybe misgauged here. We'll put flying back in. And nobody was upset with that decision. And they, yes, there was some conversation, and then there was some issues, but they only got to the place where they made the decision that was good for the health of the game because they communicated with their community. That's where I think you're probably right that there's a lot of PR checks and balances, and they're very careful in how they step around these kinds of issues. But it does feel like there's just a lot of room for them to improve and be a little more open. Because you know what? If they say, we're thinking about changing this card, and then they don't, I don't think like 1,000 people are going to stop playing Hearthstone that day. And if they do, I don't want to be the person to say this because I know that Blizzard's being very careful about it. But you know what? You were going to lose those players anyway. If all of the time you spend deciding what to communicate is being hampered by the decision to look at it as a potential exit point, you're never telling the players anything. And there are people who are leaving your game and not telling you why they're leaving. Better to at least know than to have people get bored or walk away because they got Yogg-Saron'd one too many times and you didn't talk to them and they didn't get a chance to give that feedback.
I don't know if it's so much about the exit point, but just how the community reacts sometimes. Like an example I can think of is deck slots. Okay, when they were talking about why it's going to be so difficult, you know, to make deck slots, and you know, there's a lot of things that they have to do. And then, you know, they talked about that way back when, and then when they finally implemented deck slots, ended up just being a scroll bar. And the community went bonkers about that. Why did it take, you know, first they went bonkers because it took so long. And then the answer they were getting was, well, you know, we have a lot of things that we got to figure out. And then when they implemented it, it ended up being a very simple solution. And the community's like, well, why the heck did it take so long just to add in a scroll bar? And so I think in a way, like if they have to be a little bit careful about how they communicate, but I'm with you that they should be, I'm all for them communicating more.
Okay, but hear me out here and tell me if I'm wrong. The people who were going to react that way and say, oh, it's just a scroll bar, were gonna do that either way. Their reaction had nothing to do with the amount of communication from Blizzard. It wasn't predicated on a logical response to how difficult or not difficult that code was or how much advance notice they got. That was just a knee-jerk reaction that was going to occur no matter what Blizzard had done. But the total and abject failure of this team to talk to us means that we don't know. We have no idea what this game is going to look like in a couple of months' time. We have the ability to accurately likely project that there will be a card expansion announced at BlizzCon. That's about the only thing I can say with any degree of certainty about the future of Hearthstone as a game or an esport in the next 6 to 8 months. That's exactly as much as we can say because nothing else is certain and we have nothing to go on beyond that. There's no conversation points beyond that. That to me, compared even to the rest of the Blizzard franchises, is frustrating.
I don't know that we have content out beyond BlizzCon that we know about for other games, at least meaningful content beyond smart guesses?
No, absolutely you do. You've had Blizzard get up at Gamescom and announce the upcoming 7.1 patches and content that are going to come to World of Warcraft after BlizzCon. You've got the StarCraft team actively polling
Not
their community
six to eight
about...
months, though.
No, hear me out. StarCraft is actively polling their community about potential upgrades and microtransactions and new technology coming to the client. You know that the Heroes of the Storm team is talking about rolling out additional features that they've discussed at previous BlizzCons that are still being worked on and being discussed in developer blogs. You know that the Overwatch team is talking about future content and balance patches. What could you even guess at in Hearthstone other than they'll probably release new cards in November?
Are we talking about it November or are we talking about HCT? All right, are we talking about...
We're talking about...
6 to 8 months from now. We're talking about November or 6 to 8 months from now.
Coming to the game.
Yep, I don't think they've got any communicated plans or anything that we could even speculate on outside of a card expansion between now and PAX.
Arena.
Well,
between now and PAX?
Between now and PAX.
Now and PAX, so not November anymore?
March, April of next year.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know when all these things are. So... I don't think that actually answered my question. None of those, like, you can say they put out a poll to a community or whatever. Like, to me, that feels just the same as, like, what we're about to talk with Arena or HCT and that stuff. Like, that feels exactly the same to me. So I don't, all I think it comes down to is that people who play Blizzard games want to be involved with the games outside of the game. They love hearing from developers. They love having things to read from the people who make those games. They love having videos to watch from people who make those games. And I don't think the Hearthstone team does enough of that. I don't care if it's Yang Wu doing his streams, Sunday nights. As long as I've got something to say, I'm interacting with Hearthstone beyond playing the game. For most people, now we do a podcast about it, so we get our fix that way. But that, in the end, I think it's as simple as that. The fact is that people are passionate about their Blizzard games. They want to be involved. People are always going to complain about everything. I'm not even worried about communicate more so your community doesn't complain, because in the end, like, we always have the Blizzard, I've been loyal for 20 years and this is, and I'm like, you're not loyal if you're threatening your loyalty over flying. That's not loyalty. That's totally different. That's appeasement. But in the end, to cut through everything, just, we want to be involved. Everyone, like, I love reading Yang's tweets, and I love it when Ben talks on the Twitter or does his streams. Like, I think people genuinely like that and get some insights into the game and feel like they've learned and drawn from it something more than they did before. I think it's as simple as that.
It also grounds the community conversation, right? If you go to talk about Overwatch right now with other players, you can talk about what's coming next. You know, you can talk about balance patches. You can talk about things that are based in reality. When you go to the Overwatch subreddit, there's actually content in there that kind of makes sense. And there's discussion points that have something to do with the reality of what might happen in the game. You go to the Hearthstone subreddit and it's a series of open-ended questions. If you were a developer, what would you be working on right now? What feature do you think should come to the game next? Because no one has any idea. There's absolutely no way for anyone to even speculate. So I think that's where it's starting to fall apart, is we are one step removed from being Diablo, where we're just left hanging, assuming that they're done with the franchise. And the only reason we're not is because we believe, because there's no information to the contrary, that they'll probably announce new cards in November.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I'm 100% with you on wanting more communication, more open communication, not only because it helps the community, but it also helps people like us be able to talk about stuff like this and discuss it with you guys and everybody else that listens. Because look at this, we've had, what, a 20-minute conversation about it, two tweets?
Yep.
Just imagine what we would get if we, you know, went into like more videos and stuff like that.
Totally agree. We should not keep going on this because we've been going on it for a long time. Let's jump into meta.
Beta or joina.
Really quick and simple. Not a whole lot is changing. Really. Not really at all. Any big highlights you guys want to touch on here from either of the meta reports? We've got Tempo Storms meta report, and we've got the Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper report. Nope.
I mean, I think there's one interesting point of disagreement between the two, and that's just how good Hunter is. You're seeing Tempo Storm continue to basically recommend exclusively older decks that were very powerful, Aggro Shaman, Dragon Warrior, Tempo Mage, and now the two different flavors of Token Druid, Malagos and Yogg-Saron, respectively. Whereas Vicious Syndicate, by contrast, is very much showing a lot of data around Hunter being really good and not so much the prevalence of Druid. So I don't know if that's maybe just because it's too early in the month for there to be a lot of people at Legend reporting to Vicious Syndicate, but there are disparities. I am taking what Tempo Storm is putting out with more and more of a grain of salt because they have less and less people even weighing in. They've gone from having class experts for every class to only having five people that review this. So it feels like this is something that they've started to care less about in the wake of something data driven.
Totally agree. Yeah. We normally spend a lot of time on the meta, and we think it's one of the cool parts of what our show does. But this week, there's just not a whole lot, and we really need to talk about this big, meaty subject going on in Hearthstone. So, before we get started, just to lay out the foundation here, Dean Ayala. Thank you. I've been playing too much. Wow. Or Iggy Azalea, you know, one of those two. Dean Ayala, also known as Ixar, is one of the designers of the game. And he went to the Hearthstone website to write a blog about Arena, the current state of Arena, future plans for Arena. And all that I could see after it was people saying, "What are you doing, Blizz?" So here we go into our next segment. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah, that happened. That definitely.
You had way too much fun with that. Way too much fun.
Do you know how hard it is to find which cards say certain words? It is the worst. Somebody needs to make a sheet of everything said so I can just search it. So I can search for a certain word and show me all the cards that'll say that word, because that took way too long and it could be way cooler. Yeah. So anyways, we've got some Arena changes coming along in Hearthstone. Do we not, Kev?
We absolutely do. So the upcoming patch to Hearthstone, indeterminate date, time, or other details, but it will be removing a number of cards from the draft selection process for Arena. Note that this is specific to drafting. These cards can still be generated by non-draft effects. They can still appear as options if you generate them because of discover effects or things like that, but you will no longer be able to draft the following cards: in Mage, Forgotten Torch, Snow Chugger, and Faceless Summoner. In Rogue, Goblin Auto Barber and Undercity Valiant. In Shaman, Vitality Totem, Dust Devil, Totemic Might, Ancestral Healing, Dune Maul Shaman, and Windspeaker. In Warlock, Anima Golem, Sacrificial Pact, Curse of Rafam, Sense Demons, Void Crusher, Reliquary Seeker, and Succubus. In Druid, Savagery, Poison Seeds, Soul of the Forest, Mark of Nature, Tree of Life, and Astral Communion. In Warrior, Warsong Commander, Bolster, Charge, Bouncing Blade, Axe Flinger, Rampage, and Ogre Wormhole. in Hunter, Starving Buzzard, Call Pet, Timberwolf, Cobra Shot, Lock and Load, Dart Trap, and Snipe. And in Priest, Mind Blast, Shadow Bomber, Lightwell, Power Word Glory, Confuse, Convert, and Inner Fire. I know that was a lot of names. We're going to post links to all of that stuff in the show notes so you can go and look at it for yourself. This is a big set of changes, and they've also said openly in the post that explains these cards being removed that they are continuing to evaluate additional changes to the Arena ecosystem. So before we go any further, I just wanted initial reactions from you guys on this card list. John, what do you think?
I don't know enough Arena to know specifically how this affects the meta overall. I mean, Ixar was very, very honest in saying that this is just what the team can do right now. And it addresses a lot of things. And I know it reflects a lot of the information that we're seeing from the people at Hearth Arena. So it's, I think, kind of validation that that system works and it works pretty well. But B, that there are some specific cards that can be either make a class too strong or, in the case of Purify, not strong. And just the removal of some of those cards seems to make the most sense as an easy thing. I think the real question is, sure, that's a relatively easy fix, but I think we've kind of totally thrown out the how is a casual player going to know about which cards can't they get in Arena anymore, because only the most competitive people are going to know that list, or at least have it up or be aware that they can't get certain cards. So I think that for me is one of the really interesting things, because it seems so very different from every principled stand Blizzard has ever made for the in the name of ease of use and ease of understanding.
Right. And I tend to agree with you. This is now the third time they've done this in recent memory, because they banned C'Thun cards from Arena. They then said that when they printed Purify that it would not appear in Arena, and they have now turned around and removed this additional list of cards from Arena above and beyond that, none of which is indicated within the game client, none of which obeys the original Arena draft rules, which were simply based on rarity. JR, your initial reaction?
My initial reaction of the cards that were removed, there's a handful of pretty powerful cards that they probably wanted to go ahead and remove from Arena that were probably being seen quite a bit more than they would like. Forgotten Torch is a good example of that. And then some of the other cards were just cards that they probably don't make a lot of sense to be in Arena. Sacrificial Pact, for example, or cards like that, where you're taking out a card spot of getting something else that you could probably use, which in turn makes that class a little bit weaker for it. So a lot of these you're seeing are the lesser ranked classes getting a lot of changes. So they're taking out some of the kind of bad cards that you can get with that, so that way you don't see them as much and you have a better chance of getting the better cards, so that those classes might end up being a little more competitive in Arena. So that list is mostly what I gathered from it. As far as the not being able to know what you're going to be able to draft or not draft in Arena, I don't know if that matters to me as much, though. And the simple fact for that is, when I go to Arena and I click, I see three cards. And for that moment, that's all I care about, is what I'm getting with those three cards. I don't think this list changes any of that for me in the way that I draft, because out of those three cards, I'm going to choose the best card that I think that I can grab. And then down the road, as I'm drafting more, I'm looking at my list of what I've already drafted, and I'm still looking at those three going, okay, which one of these can I use? I don't know if not having Sacrificial Pact as, you know, something that could potentially come up is going to affect me at all when I'm drafting Arena.
Sure, fair enough. And we're going to come back to that. So we're going to discuss that a little bit. A couple things I do want to note here. One is that no changes are occurring to Paladin. The second is that we did just technically hear from Ben Brode early last week that they were discussing some ways to make short-term arena changes internally, but they were expecting to have news within a few weeks. And then they've turned around and done this almost immediately. So this is an example of something I imagine they've had on the radar for a long time. And it does sound, again, from the wording of both that announcement as well as this recent post from Dean, that they've been trying very hard to find a more elegant solution for arena for quite a while.
And this is probably just a stopgap to get to that.
Absolutely it is. So one of the things that was interesting on the competitive Hearthstone subreddit, one of the mods there, Geekaleek, noted that the order that the classes were presented in pretty much one-to-one appears to match what we would expect in terms of power level in Arena. So the most powerful classes were listed first, Mage and Rogue, and the least powerful classes were listed at the end, which is a very interesting proposition. 45 cards coming out of Arena of varying rarities, all those different things. But they made it very obvious that, yeah, Mage and Rogue are the classes that have been overperforming and are losing good cards. Classes like Priest and Hunter have been underperforming and are losing bad cards. And I was just curious, what do you guys think? I think this honestly is probably the first time that Blizzard has ever done or said anything that actually directly may implicate something to do with balance. They may have inadvertently or possibly intentionally delivered us a ordered list of which classes are best to worst in Arena.
He actually says it in the post that it is essentially best to worst. He said, most of the feedback for the last few content releases, Mage and Rogue have bounced back and forth as the top two most played and most powerful classes. Paladin has been in a tier by itself below Mage and Rogue, while the last six classes have done some shifting around in a tier below these three. So we know for sure that those three are the top three, and then I think it's correct to assume that going from there, it's straight on down.
I'm just surprised because I've never seen them come out and say something that would, like, in an ordered list like that. Like, normally, they would just list them alphabetically, and he would have that little explanation that says, we know that Mage and Rogue are good, and you would be able to tell because they're losing ostensibly powerful cards, but they very specifically listed it in that order, and it leads me to believe that they're probably actually telling us those are the best to worst classes in that order. JR?
Yeah, no, it probably is. I mean, that's from what I have played in Arena, this is very much so. Like, these, you know, the top classes up here are the ones that I would pick, and the bottom ones are ones I would stay away from. So it makes sense to me that, yeah, this is an ordered list from them. And I don't know if it's that big of a deal that they ordered it like this, but it is interesting that they did.
It's surprising to me for sure. So John mentioned earlier, and I did want to touch as well on the fact that the cards that are being removed almost exactly match the worst cards according to Hearth Arena, one of the tools that sort of tracks arena performance. And so their notes basically say that Warrior matches exactly, Druid, everything except for Healing Touch that was removed matches exactly, Hunter, everything except for Feign Death matches exactly, Priest is almost the same except for Mind Games and Embrace the Shadows. There's a handful of Shaman and Warlock inclusions that didn't show up. And then some of the strong Mage and Rogue cards, Faceless Summoner, Undercity Valiant, and Goblin Autobarber in particular, among the most powerful, best performing cards, were the ones that came out. So I was interested that this is pretty much exactly what the community predicted. The cards that survived, examples like Backstab, best performing Rogue card in Arena, I don't think they could remove because it's such an iconic card and so important to the combo mechanic, but is there anything that was or wasn't removed based on stuff like the Hearth Arena data that you guys are shocked by? Or what did you think about how closely the Blizzard list matched what the community came up with?
I think it's pretty cool that the community has so much data that they have put together. Like, they have spent on the Arena community has spent on putting ranks on these cards and which cards you would pick over other ones because of how good they are. And I think it goes to show, like, how good they have been at getting that data and figuring out that data, that it shows that Blizzard is seeing the same thing. Now, my question is, are these cards good because of the data that you're seeing from the community, and that's what people are picking and using, and that's what Blizzard's data is seeing because of that. I wonder if it's a chicken and
egg. Like a chicken and egg problem here. Yeah. Interesting. John?
Yeah. I mean, in the end, I think this is pretty consistent for Blizzard to say that we would rather you play with less bad cards than less good cards to attempt to balance. Taking out the strongest cards in Mage and Rogue to bring them down. Yes, you absolutely lose that class identity piece, because typically some of the strongest cards per class are also class cards, right? So, you know, that would suck to lose a Fireball as a Mage just because you're so good. You know, it's such a good card. Instead, take away a lot of the crap that Priest has to deal with, so it has a higher chance of getting its good draftable cards going forward. I think that makes a lot of sense. The question is it far enough to achieve more balance, seeing those less in those drafts? Or is this like, cool, this is what we're going to do now, test it out, see how things go, and then boom, Arena 2.0.
Right. And that's sort of where we're headed with all of this anyway. And I think Dean's post and some of the information that Ben posted all sort of point towards the idea that they're not done. They have more that they'd like to do around changing the calculations in terms of things like how heavily weighted is the most recent set, not having the offerings be one-to-one pinned to rarity so they can maybe suppress cards that overperform, like Firelands Portal. Which right now still is actually a better arena card even than Faceless Summoner, which was just removed. So there's definitely some misses in terms of what they could still have done. And I think you're right. I think that points to longer term changes. So that's really what we're going to spend the last little bit of time this week on, is what does this mean for the future of Arena? Do you guys think there are more changes inbound? Like what do you see coming next? I have my own thoughts, but JR, what do you think?
Man, it's tough because I'm not a huge Arena player to begin with. And Magic the Gathering draft, which is very similar to Arena, was always like the weakest format I was in. As far as like changes, I think they've already shown that they're not going to balance Arena around rarity, really, because otherwise you wouldn't have seen Firelands Portal be a common and some of the other portals be rares or something like that, or epics, which to me would have been, you know, a very easy change to be able to balance. Instead, I think they're going to look at balancing Arena in a way that there's just going to be a certain card pool, and maybe it'll be a rotating card pool of that you'd be able to choose from. Like, they might almost go sort of the same way that Standard is, right? Where you have a rotating card pool every year or something to that effect. But they might also just change how Arena works altogether. Like, I don't know. Like, we're going to find out at BlizzCon, I think. I think they're going to have to fundamentally change how Arena works in the game as far as feature wise goes, and whether that's changing the card pool or changing which cards are available for each class, or having a rotating card pool or something like that. I don't know what else they can do. Like, the one thing I like about Arena is the fact that you're going picking three cards, choosing it, building your deck down the road, and then playing people that did the exact same thing. And I think fundamentally, like, that experience is very good. I think it has to have something to do with the card pools themselves. But I don't know if, like, banning these cards straight out is going to be the answer. Something needs to be more long-term.
All right. I'm going to weigh in a second, but John, where are you on this?
I'll be very short with this one. The things that work well with Arena are the pick from three cards thing. I think 12 wins overall is pretty good. But that's where progression ends with Arena, right? So I think we're going to see some changes to some more season-long type changes to Arena. Not necessarily, you know, go to 12 wins, get a lot of cool stuff, but imagine trying to get the most wins in a month, other things like that. I think for balancing perspective, I think they're going to, and they've mentioned this in the past a little bit and kind of alluded to it, a more of a popularity card pool versus a rarity card pool. So balance the cards based on the popularity and power versus purely on the rarity of the card, which does mean in essence now all rarity, if they did that, all rarity would mean is how expensive a card is, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if I like that a whole lot. Maybe they try to keep a certain amount of rarity in that, but, you know, limit the amount of epics you can get or something like that. Maybe they try to do something like that so that it doesn't totally defeat the purpose of rarity. Besides, how do we get people to pay more money so that they can get their legendary or epic for constructed? But yeah, that's it. That's it.
Fair enough. All right. So I didn't want the last word, but I ended up with it. Kind of what I think they're doing here. No, yes, I really didn't.
Yes, you did.
I think where they're going with this, what I really think they're doing here is the arena system when the game came out was very transparent. You get cards based on rarity. As it progressed, it got more convoluted because now the arena favors new sets and rewards cards from new sets. And they've had to change some of those interactions over time. Every time they've added new cards to the game, they've slightly tweaked Arena in some capacity. They're now to a point where they've got this enormous ban list. There's something altogether now, like almost 70 cards that don't appear in your Arena draft out of the wild total card pool. It's a big number. And they're stuck in this weird position where, with the exception of the C'Thun cards, they're only dealing with class cards. So you're still getting a number of underperforming cards in Arena that feel bad to draft because you can't plan for synergies, because you can't build a deck. You're just kind of slapping together what you get, which still continues to mean that there's going to always be a reason to favor classes with good common spells or classes with reliable hero powers. What makes Mage and Rogue most powerful in Arena is still their hero powers. That's why they've been good from the outset. It's why Mage has dominated forever. I think they've made Arena very complex now. There's all these hidden rules and advanced exceptions that nobody knows about. You have to go out and basically research how often you're going to be offered a card, which cards are going to be offered, which sets are being emphasized. And heaven forbid, they actually introduce additional numerical values above and beyond rarity to suppress certain cards.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to add something to that thought before you continue. And that's the fact is, or skip all of that and download a program that does all of that for you, effectively taking that part of the game completely out of it. Continue. Sorry.
Right. You're right. It's drafting like JR said earlier, we don't know how much of this data is now influenced by the fact that there are tools telling people you should take this card because it's better. You should take this card because it fits your curve. It's not the same process it was intended to be. My honest belief is that the only way that they can make this all work is by fundamentally changing the drafting process. I think they revisit how drafting works altogether. You're not going to pick a class. You're going to be offered a class at random or a selection of classes. And then you're going to draft, but I think you're going to draft from a larger pool of cards to enable better selection of more interesting synergies and put together a deck that's more fun to play, because that's where Arena has sort of fallen apart, is it's not fun. And that's why people have stopped doing it. And that, I think, will help them to resolve things like, why are you being offered these cards? What are you doing with the randomization of rarity? Because all of a sudden, it's not so important that a card that might be epic is offered more often, because you're being given maybe a pool of, here's 50 cards, pick the 30 you want, or here's 60 cards, pick the 30 you want. However they decide to go about it, they could do a lot of other things, and there's a lot of limitations because of their UI and everything else. But what they're trying to achieve is simplicity. The original Arena system was incredibly simple, and now there's nothing simple about it. If you're not constantly reading Hearthstone-related news, you have no idea what's going on with Arena, because you don't know that the most recent set is weighted. You don't know that a bunch of cards are excluded. And like I said, the point at which it really gets messy is if they have additional variables above and beyond rarity. If all you're doing is drafting the best of the three cards that appears in front of you, it's like John said, you're just going to run an external tool and that's the end of it. And Arena offers nothing for interest or decision making. And that's I think, why they have to totally fundamentally revisit drafting specifically to make it more fun again. So if I had to put money on something, I think JR's right. There's probably other features in development. There's probably stuff going to be announced at BlizzCon. If they announce a big Arena rework, it's going to be the drafting process.
MAGA, make Arena great again.
Oh my god. No.
Anyway, can we make hats?
Nope. We gotta. All right, go ahead.
I want
JR,
to say
do
one
it.
More thing, because I think Asgard made an awesome point in the chat. Draft 40 cards, pick 30. And I think that's an awesome idea of being able to draft more cards than what you need, and then you pick out of those 40 cards that you pick, you then choose 30 to go into your deck.
Yeah.
So that you can build it and make it a little more efficient, and that way it might give those classes a better chance later on. I really like that idea. I just wanted to point it out because our community is cool.
I agree. Thank you guys for hanging out with us in chat for episode number 77. Hopefully you found it entertaining and also in your ear holes throughout the week for your favorite podcast stuff. Emails, we didn't get any emails this week, but as stuff kind of starts to taper off, we'd love to take your ideas and suggestions and questions at the end of the show. So send us your emails to wellmet@blizzpro.com. We'd be happy to answer those here on the show. And Patreon, what we got going on with Patreon, Kev?
Well, before I get into it, I do want to take again a moment to thank our friends of the show. So, as always, a big special shout out to Albert, T, The Real, Ben, and Coral for their exceptional support of the show. This week, we also want to welcome Buckeye Fitzy, a new patron into the WellMet family. So thank you so much for your support. That means a lot to us. We're very, very, very close to being able to pull off another awesome bonus episode. We did our last one over the summer with WellMet Jeopardy featuring Disguised Toast. It was a lot of fun. And if you guys can help us get over that $400 a month milestone here in September, we'd love to pick out another cool idea and do another bonus episode in October. So head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Check it out. See what you love. Get involved. And we also are still looking forward to some updates to our Patreon coming very soon.
Woo! What do we got going on for iTunes reviews, Jer?
Yeah, so for iTunes reviews this week, we had a couple awesome five-star reviews coming all the way from Australia. Thank you, Elias I, and not like the eye on your face. I as in like you're a pirate, and pirates are awesome. So good job, Elias I. And then US from USA, we had Rustling Yeti 24. Thank you so much for that review as well. If you would like to give us a five-star review, just head over to iTunes, type in Hearthstone. You'll find WellMet right there in the listing. Click on that, leave a five-star review, and if you do, I will happily mispronounce your name on the show next week.
Love it. Thanks, JR. Let's do some shout-outs for the week. Kev, you're up first.
Right on. So in addition to WellMet and the payload this week, I'm also going to be guesting tomorrow night, Monday, September 12th, on Rally Point, the new esports podcast from Bleacher Report. They asked me to come chat with them a little bit about Hearthstone and the arena changes that are coming down the pipe here as well. So if you're interested, check that one out. Look for it on your podcast feeds. It's an awesome piece done by Scott Johnson of Podcast Legend. So it's going to be a great show. I'm really excited to go get involved with it. Hopefully this won't be a one-time thing and I'll maybe get to do this again with them in the future. But yeah, check out the next episode of Rally Point on your feeds. Also, I've got a ton of new articles coming out before the end of the month. Keep an eye on my Twitter at Lack of Realism for the cool stuff that's coming out there. And last but not least, we are starting to talk about our plans for BlizzCon because it is so freaking close. So if you're going to be at BlizzCon this year and you'd like to hang out with me and John and JR, plan some kind of meetup, maybe come get a t-shirt signed. I have no idea. But if you want to meet up and hang out, now's the time to start helping us plan that stuff out. Email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com so that we can figure it out and have a plan together to hang out with you guys, because nothing is better for us than getting to hang out with people who listen to the show.
Yep, absolutely. JR, what are you up to? Or shout outs, stuff like that. That was a really coordinated sentence by me.
I would like to give a shout out to all the handful of people I did get to meet at Dragon Con. The couple of people that actually noticed me and was like, "Hey, you're JR from Well Met." I'm like, I'm just wearing my afro. That's probably how you knew me. So thanks a lot for just out, saying hi. You guys are awesome. And also, hey, come out and hang out in our Discord. Like, I've noticed you guys have been using that a lot more. So if you want to come and chat with the rest of the community, if you want to come and play World of Warcraft with me, I've been leveling up in Legion in the Well Met Guild. Come hang out with me on there. Even come over to Discord at discord.gg/bluespro. Just message me on there if you want an invite to the guild. We'll get you in.
Yep, we're up to 15. I invited a couple people, so we're up to 15 on there, but I'd love to see quite a few more so we can hang out and do fun stuff. Why not? Well, as for me, still raising funds last minute for TwitchCon. I'm really almost there. Really excited to be going to TwitchCon there. Come hang out in Discord, as JR said. And yeah, I think that's really about it. One thing on BlizzCon, I do know that we will be... never mind, I can't say any of that. Forget that. We'll edit that out later. No, we won't. yeah, let's go ahead and get out of here. So thanks for joining us for another episode of Well Met. You can join us live every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/BlizzPro to get in on the conversation, and follow the show on Twitter at Well Met Podcast for additional news and updates. Well Met is exclusively supported by our fans. If you love the show, you can find out how to become a part of the family at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. You can also find Well Met apparel at store.blizzpro.com. You still got a little time yet, so you can get that Well Met shirt for BlizzCon. That's all I'm saying. Just saying.
I'll be wearing mine.
I'll be wearing mine probably too. Shameless self-promotion. That's gotta what I do best. Special thanks to Jake Buttono for our music. You can find it at jakebuttono.ca. And Site Designs for our graphics. This has been episode number 77 of Well Met. And we'll see you again next week. Bye, guys. See you, Kev. See you, JR. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, John.
Bye.
Bye.
Well Met is a production of BlizzPro.com. The show records live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. To get the latest news and information about the show, follow us on Twitter at Well Met Podcast, or join us on our subreddit at reddit.com/r/WellMetPodcast. If you would like to support the show, you can find out how at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast.
What are you doing?